And other places we've preached just to empty buildings and sang to empty buildings, but we sure are glad to see real live people in a service this morning. You say, what do you think about all this? I think God's still in control. God knows what He's doing, and God knows what we need, and I'm just thankful to be here today. There's a lot of different directions I was thinking about last night. I wanted to go. I wanted to, as Brother Michael John hit on just a little while ago, preaching on that Proverbs 31 woman, and then preaching on Timothy's mama and grandmother and all these good Mother's Day messages, and then some of them probably preaching on Jezebel this morning as a mother not to be, but I wasn't going to do that. But the Lord directed my mind back to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Brother, if this gets too loud, you may need to turn it down. And if I spit on y'all, I promise you, I don't think I'm carrying. But if I do, y'all run, jump in the shower. CDC tells you just jump in the shower, it all washes off. So the Bible says, Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And this is my text right here. And of all things that he saw. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. God, I want to thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. Thank you for allowing us to be in this place with these people. And God, I'm glad today we can come in and celebrate Mother's Day with some family members, close family members. And God, I pray that you'd be with each mother today. God, I pray that you would bless them abundantly today, their day. God, I pray that you'd help us to realize that mamas are an important part of the family, probably the most important part of the family. And God, I pray right now that you'd have your way. God, I pray if there's one lost in the building today, God, I pray that you'd save them before it's everlasting too late. Help them to see right now their need of a Savior. And God, trust in thee for salvation. And God, everything that's done, I'm asking you to help me today. I need a touch of the Holy Ghost. I need that unction and power from on high. And God, I pray that you'd fill my mind. God, I pray that you'd fill my heart. And God, I pray that you'd let it come out of my mouth the way you want it to be said. And God, everything that's done, I want to give you praise and honor and glory because you're worthy. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I never was diagnosed with ADD, and I'm not making light of it. If you have a child, I promise you, I'm not making fun of it, never making light of it. But I never was diagnosed with it. But after we found out, when I was later on in life, found out what it was, attention deficit disorder, my mama looked at me one day and she said, I think that's what you've got. I mean, I see flying squirrels all the time. I am so distracted. I can be telling Becky how pretty she is in one sentence, and then right, without even putting a period at the end of that sentence, go right into what Mexican food and what we having for lunch. I mean, I can go right in, honey, you're just beautiful. Those tacos smell real good. I mean, I'm just ADD all over the place. My mind wanders. I mean, just goes crazy. And I've always been fascinated by this idea of flying. We get to fly every once in a while from different places. And if I'm driving the bus and we're going through a major city, Charlotte, Chicago, wherever it is, we pass by these huge airports. And next thing you know, Atlanta especially, I mean, it looks like they're going to land right on top of the bus. And if I'm driving the bus, I mean, the kids are in the back. Most of them probably sleep. And I'm hollering at them, hey, Mally, come up here. Look at this big old plane. And I'm amazed at how that big old thing, with all them people, all that weight, all that luggage, all that fuel, how them big old tonnage of birds just get off the ground and fly. That just blows my mind. I'm interested in this idea of all the stuff you used to see on TV, the old Star Trek. Not this new stuff, but the old Star Trek, when Captain Kirk would pop that little thing on his chest, he'd be right in the grasp of a planet, some aliens getting ready to get a hold of him, devour him. And he just says, beam me up, Scotty. And next thing you know, he disintegrates into a million pieces and gets back on the ship. And all, everything's in place, not an ear out of place, every toe is there. I mean, just right on, everything is good. And some of you young people, This cartoon's going to blow your mind. The Jetsons. I mean, some of y'all look at me like, what's he talking about? Brother Michael John, it amazed me how George could just get out of bed, step on his conveyor belt that runs through his house, and it run through the shower. It run through the closet. He gets fully dressed. It runs through the kitchen. He gets Rosie to get him a muffin or something. It goes by Mrs. Jetson. He gives her a kiss on the mouth, and then it drops him right down off into his flying car, and he takes off. I mean, that stuff kind of blows my mind. And I'm also interested in this idea of time travel. Time travel. If I had enough money, because I know I'll never have enough brains to invent a time machine. And if I could just get somebody to invent this time machine, pay to have it done, and just jump ahead, I don't know, let's just say a mere 20 years into the future. That's not a long time. 20 years is no time, seemingly, in our day. But just jump ahead 20 years, take a little bit of cash with me, and find out what stock is booming. I mean, I'm just looking at the carnal thing. I mean, everybody wants to be rich. Come back to the day with that little cash I got in my pocket. Go down to the stock market, invest every dime I got in that stock. And then just watch myself over 20 years become a gazillionaire. I mean, go ahead 20 years, find that piece of land that's today it's just woods and swamp and all that. I mean, it doesn't matter where it is. And then 20 years in the future, I'm looking at this piece of land and it's got high-rise buildings on it. I mean, it's got mega millions of dollars worth of value. Come back, scrape up every dime you got, invest it in that piece of property, and then watch yourself just get rich. I mean, some of us are so carnal, we look at 20 years of lottery numbers. And I know I just lost half of you there. The devil's had that money long enough. I mean, it's time to be put into the ministry. My wife has two son-in-laws. Y'all know him. Y'all know one of them. At least you know one of them. And I feel sorry for you, but go ahead 20 years. Find that son-in-law. And Michael John, just see how he's treating my baby girl. I mean, I invested a lot of money in her the 19 years she was mine. Jump ahead 20 years. Find out how them son-in-laws is treating my daughters. And if it's bad, come back to today. Take him fishing without a fishing pole, just some brick and some chain. I mean, check on the grandbabies. Nobody wants ugly grandbabies. Say, ain't no grandbaby. I've seen some grandbabies. Some grandbabies are just plumb ugly. Nobody wants ugly. And I'm just getting a laugh out of it. These are the carnal things. If we could jump ahead in the future and look at the carnal things. But what about spiritual things? Take that same time machine. Jump ahead 20 years. Come to the Morningstar Baptist Church on a Mother's Day 20 years down the road. Will you be sitting in the same seat? Will your wife be there? Your kids? And if they're not, you'd ask yourself, where's your kids at? And the stores, some of them would be really good. Oh, they surrendered to go to the mission field. They're serving God somewhere in Africa. They're serving God somewhere in Asia. They're serving God somewhere in Europe, somewhere in Russia. They're serving God. I mean, some of the stories would be really, really good. Amen. But some of them would be nightmares. Ask yourself, where's your son? Where's your daughter? Oh, something I did 15 years ago. Got them out of church. Got them out of serving God. Run, and I promise you, everybody sitting under the sound of my voice today, if we could jump ahead 20 years, find out something bad that's happened, we'd come back today and we'd start looking for that opportunity. We'd stop looking. We'd start looking for that time in our lives and we'd act different. we'd be different. If we could see the future and come back to today, I promise you, everybody sitting under the sound of my voice, everybody sitting out there in cars, we'd all make changes as to how we did things better. We treat this building different. We treat our family members different. We treat the lost different. Everybody would have some improvement that would need to be done if we could just see just a meager 20 years down the road. But this idea of seeing the future, it's already been done. When John wrote this, he said, hey, I've seen some things. The Lord said, I'm going to show John, my servant John, who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of all things that he saw. Over and over and over again in this book of the Revelation, these words are, and I looked, and I beheld, and I saw. Over and over and over again, John is saying, hey, God has showed me some things way out there in the future. God has showed me some things that are going to come to pass. I've looked, John made this statement. He said, I've not only looked at to where time stopped, but John says, I've looked over into eternity. That blows my mind. We're on this concept of time. It's straight up 12 o'clock, and I promise you, we'll be out of here by the 6 o'clock service tonight. We will. John says, I've looked at not only to where time stopped, but John says, I've taken a gander over into eternity, and I've seen some things. And God let John see some things. And if we, as Baptist people, sitting here this morning in the Morning Star Baptist Church, if we could just grasp a hold of a few things that John saw, I promise you, our lives would be different. If we just take serious a few things that John actually did see when he looked over into eternity, when he looked over into the future, I promise you, there would not be an empty seat in the church house next Sunday. There would not be an empty seat in the church house on Wednesday. People would gather night after night if we, as God's youngins, would just grasp a hold of just a few things that John saw. Number one, John says, I looked and I beheld and I saw a Savior. And John says he's still seated on the throne. John says, I looked all the way to where time stopped, and God let me see into that third heaven. And John said, I saw the Savior, and he's right where he's been all along. He's right there. Chapter number 4 of this book of the Revelation, John says, there was lightnings and thunderings proceeding out of the throne, and there was the seats of the 24 elders, and they were around the throne, and they're saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And there are seraphims flying around, and they're saying, holy, holy, holy. And they're all talking about the one that's seated on the throne. They're all talking about the Savior who is seated on the throne. God has not given up the throne. He's not abdicated. He's not going to be in peace. God is still on the throne. John says, I've looked way out there. John says, I've looked way, way, way out there. And he's still there. He's still there. Church, what are we worried about? Amen. Coronavirus, nothing. God says, I've got this. He says, I'm still seated where I've always been. Nothing's taken me by surprise. The fact that churches ain't meeting, it's not called God off guard. It's not called God blindsided. It's not called Him by surprise. God knew this was going to take place. God knew that this was going to happen. And He says, I've got this in my hand. Just like I did the children of Israel when they're getting ready to cross the Red Sea. He said, I've got a work to show you. I've got a thing that I'm going to prove to you that I still am God. Even in the midst of the struggle, even in the midst of the trial, I'm still seated on the throne. And John says, I've seen him way out there. He's still there. If we just grasp a hold of that, I promise you, our worries, our fears, they'd have to take a back seat to everything that God is doing. Because God says, I'm still on the throne. I'm still in charge. I'm still there. But not only did John say, I looked, I beheld, and I saw the Savior's still on the throne. But number two, John says, I looked and I beheld and I saw a sure judgment that's coming. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, God placed a curse on this earth. God told Adam, hey, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to work through the thorns, work through the thistles. This earth is going to be cursed. The judgment of this earth starts in Revelation chapter number 6. And I know most Baptists believe this book of the Revelation, it's good way out there in the future. It's way, real good way out there in the future. My friend, this book of the Revelation could start right now. Before the last amen, we could see things happening before the last amen of my sermon today. And this book of the Revelation could start unfolding right before our very eyes. And I believe that's the trouble with most churches. We think the book of the Revelation, we know it's going to happen because it's God's Word. But we're thinking it's going to happen long after we're gone. But the things that's going to take place, they could start unfolding at 10 minutes after 12 today. And John says, hey, I looked and I see a sure judgment coming. Revelation chapter 6 starts to unfold. Brother Mike John talked about them four horsemen coming. And they're not coming with good news. They're not coming with pleasure. They're not coming with glad tidings. No, they're bringing judgment. They're bringing damnation. They're bringing all kinds of stuff with them. And they're going to open the seven vials, and there's going to be the seven seals and all the stuff. The seven woes are going to take place. And I can promise you, if you're lost under the sound of my voice today, you don't want to be here when that starts. You don't want to be here. You want to be in that crowd of the Thessalonians chapter number 4 when the Bible says the trumpet of God's going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise. Then we which are alive and remain going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be of the Lord. That's the crowd you want to be in. Amen. I used to wonder how this stuff's going to take place. It used to blow my mind, Brother Michael John, when I'd hear preachers preach on prophecy, how that one man's going to stand before the whole world and speak to the whole world at one time. It's been done the last 50 days. One man's going to be able to, and I've always had my, I'm not going to say I'm a conspiracy theorist, but stuff runs around in this mind, this vivid mind of mine. I thought in the last election that the other candidate was going to win. Thank God she didn't, but I thought she was. And honestly, this is how I thought it was going to play out. America would be sold to some Muslim country, and we'd all be forced to wear turbans on our head, speaking Arabic. But it didn't take place like that. But nowhere in Scripture, it don't matter how big of a Bible theologian you are, I've not met anybody, Brother Michael John, that tells me where America is in the book of the Revelation. I honestly believe she finally turns her back on God and God says, I'm done with you. That's my personal opinion. But I don't have a clue. I've heard all kinds of ideas about the book of Ezekiel, the book of Daniel, and where America is. But honestly, nobody has given me one concrete piece of information as to where America is when this judgment starts. So friend, I honestly think America is out of the picture. And I believe if you're lost and you're here after the rapture, friend, you're going to be wishing that you'd have accepted Christ. You're going to be wishing that you'd have chosen Christ. You're going to be wishing that you'd have been saved. Because I promise you, when all the judgment starts and all the doom and gloom starts, you do not want to be here when all that starts to unfold. Revelation chapter number 6 and following. The Bible says there's going to be people crying for the mountains to fall on them. They're going to be trying to stab themselves with swords, but they'll not be able to die. Wishing they could get out of all the torment that's going on, but yet they have rejected Christ. And I know all this stuff, Left Behind series and stuff, says there's going to be a chance after the rapture. I don't believe that. I believe the Bible's clear. If you've had an opportunity to hear the gospel, I don't know about the Jews, the 144, I don't know about all that, but I do know If you've had an ample opportunity to hear the gospel preached to you and you've rejected it one time, not a dozen times, if you've rejected it one time, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. You'll be cast into hell because you've had a chance. Friend, there won't be no second chances after the rapture. So I'm begging you today, if you're lost, accept Christ. Don't be left behind when the judgment of this earth starts. But not only the judgment of this earth, but the Bible talks about the great white throne. Revelation chapter 20, chapter number 21. The Bible talks about that the dead, small and great, from every kindred, every tribe, and every tongue, is going to stand before the judge, the Lord God Almighty, on that throne. And they're going to have probably every excuse under the sun as to why they did not accept the Lord. They're going to say, I didn't know. I had no opportunity. And the Lord Himself is going to tell them, even creation declares that there is a Savior. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The wind that blows, it says, there is a Savior. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. All creation declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And those lost are going to stand there at this great white throne. And I know people think, from all the songs they hear, that hell's going to be some big party and we're all going to drink together. Friend, there ain't even a drop of water there, much less a gallon of beer. There ain't going to be no partying. There ain't going to be no lights. There ain't going to be no fun. It's going to be torment. As that rich man said, I'm filled with torments day and night. And that man, woman, boy, girl, will stand before the great white throne judgment. And Brother Michael John, I don't know where we're going to be in all this. I don't know if we're going to look on. I don't know if we're going to be so. I don't have a clue. But some of us are probably going to have to watch loved ones. If we're looking on, some of us are going to have to watch loved ones be cast off into the lake of fire. Tears ain't wiped away yet. And honestly, I believe we're going to see co-workers. We're going to see family members. We're going to see friends. And honestly, as they're being cast in the lake of fire, they're probably going to look at us if we're somewhere close by and they're going to say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me? You claimed to be a Christian, yet you never told me about the love of God. You never told me salvation story. Why didn't you tell me? And the great white throne judgment, everybody's standing there. There'll be no hope then. No hope for them there. Their fate is already sealed. They'll be cast into hell, cast into the lake of fire, the Bible says, which is the second death. And that makes me want to be a better Christian. That makes me want to go out and be the salt and the light that I'm supposed to be. That makes me want to tell everybody there's a Savior that died on a cross. He got up on the third day for your sins and my sins. That is the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. All you got to believe is the gospel. But there'll be people that'll trot over that grace. Trot over that mercy. Trot over those warnings, and they'll stand at that great white throne without excuse. And they'll be sent to hell forever, forever, and forever. But not only the judgment of this earth, not only the great white throne, but how about the judgment seat of Christ? That's where we're going to stand. And we're not going to stand there to be charged with our sins. That's been taken care of. That was taken care of when I said I do to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I asked Him to come into my heart and save me. My payment for sin was taken care of. My judgment of hell was taken care of. Because I trusted in the only one who could save my soul. The Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, we're still going to have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And honestly, consensus today tells us that most Christians think this is going to be a picnic. A walk in the park. But there's going to be a lot of sad faces. There's going to be a lot of tears shed at this great white throne, at this judgment seat of Christ. And only the saved are going to stand there. In every deed we've ever done in this body, every work, every attitude, every motive, everything, every action, every reaction we have ever done, we're going to have to give an account. Everything. We're going to have to answer the questions of why did you or why didn't you? And I know me. And you know you. And your whole life and my whole life is going to be displayed after I got saved. Everything I've done after I got saved. And I can promise you, church, this makes me want to be a better preacher. This makes me want to be a better Christian. This makes me want to be a better husband, a better father, a better church member. This makes me want to be a better citizen in the United States, because I'm going to have to give an account of every thought I've ever had, every motive of my heart, every action, every reaction. I'm going to have to give an account of everything I've ever done. And that ought to scare us to death. That ought to scare us to death for everything we've ever done. We're going to have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, we're okay. We're going to make it in. But what about going in? Some of us are probably going to have to go in like this. Because of unconfessed sin, deeds that weren't taken care of. I want to stand before him, Brother Michael John, and I believe we will. He'll say, well done. But we'll have to go through that judgment seat first. And we'll have to see everything we should have done that we didn't do, and everything we did do that we shouldn't have done. It ought to make us want to be the best Christians we could possibly be. It ought to make us want to serve Him more, because not only the Savior on the throne, but the sure judgment that's coming. But number three, John says, I looked, I beheld, and I saw not only the Savior on the throne, not only the sure judgment that's to come, but John says, I looked, I beheld, and I saw Satan. And he was doomed and defeated. He was doomed and defeated. Somebody said that statement years and years and years ago. I heard as a little boy. When Satan starts reminding you of your past, you remind him of his future. I believe it's Revelation chapter number 20, maybe chapter number 21, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says that Satan is bound for 1,000 years. You jump down to verse number 7 of that same chapter. Satan's loosed again, and he is wreaking havoc, and he is doing what Satan does best. He's got a target on you. He's got a target on this church. He's got a target on the man of God. He's got a target on the singers. He's got a target on everybody that's doing anything for the cause of Christ. He's not after the lost man, because he already has them, but He's after your testimony. He's after your character. He's after your joy. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And He knows He can't drag us off into hell. So He's going to make you ineffective while you're here. And if He gets your testimony, if He gets your joy, and He's got your character, He's got you. You're ineffective for the cause of Christ. And from the looks of things, the stuff that I get phone calls about every day, he's doing a great job at being the devil. Statistic after statistic after statistic, he is making men, women, boys, and girls fall all over the land, because that's his job. There's been numerous times we've got on that bus, check engine light come on, and you just seemingly know it's a devil. I mean, you're riding down the road, you're checking, your light comes on in the car, your refrigerator goes bad, your stove goes bad, your washer starts leaking. Everybody knows, seems like it's going to happen on Sunday mornings. And you know it's the devil trying to discourage you, trying to bother you, trying to hit you in your pocketbook, trying to hit you in your family, trying to hit you in your flesh with sickness and all kinds of... And I know everything has to go through God before it gets to me, but the devil's on an all-out rampage, and he's trying his best to discourage you, to destroy you, to drag your kids and your grandkids off into hell with him. That's what the devil's doing, and he's doing a great job at it. But one of these days, Revelation chapter 20, he's bound. 21, he's bound. 1 and 2. Verse number 7, he's loosed again. But you jump down to verse number 10. And the Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. And he's never heard from again. One of these days, the Lord's going to bound him up and he's going to cast him down the lake of fire. And there'll be no more Satan. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sorrow. We'll be forever with the Lord worshiping him. And I've asked the Lord, Lord, if he's bound, I know I'm no match for him. But if you've got him bound with your foot on his throat, Lord, just let me come by and stay there about 1,000,000 years and kick him in the head. For every time he's went after my kids. For every time he's went after my testimony. For every time he's went after my character. For every time he's went after my joy. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, while you've got him down, let me kick him about 1,000,000 years.
Amen.
And I'm sure we all feel like it. But there's one of these days coming. He's gone. He's not going to be able to mess with us anymore. But number 4, and I'm done. Y'all come on, baby. Get a song ready. John says, I looked, I beheld, and I saw. If we could just grasp a hold of these things, I promise you we'd be different. Every one of us would be different. If we'd apply them to our lives, we'd all be different. John says, I looked, I saw the Savior. He's still on the throne. I looked all the way to where eternity begins. Looked over into eternity and he said, I saw the sure judgment that's coming. He said, I looked and I saw Satan. He's doomed and defeated. But John said, number 4, I looked and I saw the saints. John says, I saw the saints and they saved, safe, and they're satisfied.
Amen.
They're all right. John says, I saw them. They're all right. Everything is good where God is. Everything is good where the Savior is. And the Bible talks about that there's going to be a wedding and everybody seemingly, except dads and moms, love weddings. But there's going to be a day that there's going to come a wedding that dad ain't going to have to pay for. It's going to be taken care of by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are the bride and he is the bridegroom. He is not going to hold back anything from that wedding. We're going to marry the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after the wedding, there's going to be that subject that all Baptists love. Supper. The Bible says that the Lord is going to gird himself and serve us. I don't know what it's going to be. Somehow or another, I've gotten my ADD high-definition mind that it's going to be the All-Star from Waffle House for some reason or another. I just think it's going to be that. But the Lord's going to serve us. And one of the, I believe it's Zephaniah, says that he is going to joy over us with singing. You heard some good singing this morning. There's good singing in this church every week. But can you imagine when the perfect Son of God starts to strike up a tune? Can you imagine when the Lord himself strikes up a tune? And I don't know what it's going to be. I believe it's going to be something to the effects of, I'm glad you let me save you. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being my child. Thank you for being my son, my daughter. Thank you for being saved. And then I believe in turn, we're going to turn to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and those angels that are over there saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and amen, and worthy. They're going to take a back seat and we're going to start out with, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, and amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And forever we're going to worship this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Bible talks about that new heaven and that new earth. He's going to destroy all things that passed away. Behold, all things become new. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know, some of you may want to come back and be the Mayor Packlett when all this is over with, when the new earth is here. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have access from heaven, the new heaven, to the new earth. I don't know, Brother Mike. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know where exactly we're going to reside. But I do know, wherever that Savior is, that's going to be heaven to us. wherever it is, that's going to be heaven to us, because we're going to be joining with those seraphims and those elders, and we're going to say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We're going to say, worthy is Lamb, because we're going to be satisfied with everything that's going on in that city. But while we're here, waiting on that, I believe we need to apply some of these things. John says, I've looked. It's going to happen. And the decision you make today could determine where John saw you. A decision, lost man, lost woman, lost girl, lost boy. A decision you make today could be the determining factor as to where John saw you. I'm not a Calvinist by any means. I'm a whosoever. Amen. And honestly, I believe God has given us this space of grace. Amen. To make those decisions to be saved and trust Him. John says, I looked, I beheld, and I saw. Only we can change things that's going to happen tomorrow because of our actions today. And Brother Michael John, because of what he saw, I want to be different. I want to alter the lives of people for the good. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I want to be a stepping stone. I want to help usher somebody in the kingdom of God. And me doing all I can to serve Him, to worship Him, to praise Him, it could make a difference in somebody in this building's life. Lost man, you know your heart. Lost woman, you know the Bible maybe inside and out. But yet you've got to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and save you. It's personal. It doesn't matter if daddy was saved. It doesn't matter if granddaddy was saved. If you're not saved, that relationship is between you and God. It's your choice today. Choose Him before it's everlasting too late. We're going to stand all over the building. Preacher, you come. You take this invitation. They're going to sing this song. If you're lost, I wouldn't wait. I'd come right now. I wouldn't put it off. I wouldn't delay no longer. I'd say, Lord, save me. I need to be saved. And if you are saved, maybe these things that John saw, you need to apply to your life. You need to see it like John saw it. You need to be different next Sunday and next Sunday and the next Sunday for the cause of Christ. Because we have an effect in this world. Good and bad. Lord, I want to thank You for this day. God, I want to thank You for Your grace and Your love and Your mercy. Thank You for allowing us to be in this place with these people. And God, right now, I pray that You'd help us. God, I pray that You would have Your way. God, I pray that You'd save the lost today. No doubt a crowd this size, there's somebody that's lost. God, save them right now. God, we're going to be careful to pray and thank You.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed as they sing. The gospel has been made clear. God has been in the room, meaning you have been exposed to truth, and you have been exposed to the truth, the person who is truth. That's the Lord Jesus. He's been preached about, sang about, magnified, glorified. He's been in your presence. It'd be an awful thing to let Jesus pass you by. I'm not there going to try to re-preach what's been preached. It's been made very clear. The God of heaven's drawing. He's dealing. Please don't let Him pass you by. Alter your future. Change your future. Fate. Choose Christ. Choose the Lord. Let Him save you, change you, make you whole. You come. If the Lord's dealing with you, you come. be the best day of your life. It was the best day of mine. Would you come? As they sing, you come.
You may have a fancy car, brand new house that shines by far. You may live to be 100 years old, but if you have not been saved, you lose it all with the grave. But I want us to be together in heaven. I want us to be together in heaven. I want to walk down the streets of pure gold. I want to run through the fields of green clover. See the mansions, smell the flowers, hear the singing, it's all ours. See the river gently flowing, feel the gentle breezes blowing. I want us to be together in heaven. You may be a millionaire, wealthy flows beyond compare. You may have the best that money can buy, but if the blood is not applied, then in hell you'll get your rise. But I want us to be together in heaven. I want us to be together in heaven. I want to walk down the streets of pure gold. I want to run through the fields of green clover, see the mansions, smell the flowers, hear the singing, it's ours. See the river gently flowing, feel the gentle breezes blowing. I want us to be in heaven. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
As they play, bow your heads, please. We're almost done. And as I say that, almost done, we're almost finished here, that means that your time is coming to a close. The time that God allotted you, that he would deal with you, that he would once again, maybe finally, maybe forever. If this is the last time God's ever going to open the door for you, would you spit in his face, shun him, say no again? I plead with you. I plead with you. Don't gamble away your eternity. Don't make a foolish decision. There is a God. You know. I want us to be together in heaven. As they were singing, I want to be together with you in heaven. God forbid my family, my friends die and go to hell. Jesus is calling. Would you come? Step out. By faith, one time in your life, step out by faith and walk to Christ. There's nothing in this world worth going to hell over. There's no sin. There's no substance. There's no friends. There's nothing worth going to hell over. And I know the devil's probably got you convinced you can't live it, and you can't. But Christ can through you. And all you have to do is let go and come and say, I want that gospel that Scott preached about. I want something that can change and save me. I want to meet Christ. Would you come? I can't make you. If I could, I'd crawl around this building for you. I'm praying for many. I love you. And Jesus has done everything He can do for you. And it's in your court. The decision's yours. Would you come? The door's closing. Pray you'll do business with the Lord. Our Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, once again, I come to you, Lord, to the throne room of grace. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray. God, I've got family members. I got friends, loved ones, people that I care about, people that I pray for daily. God, I beg of you, Lord, they'd do business with you even now, Lord. God, while the door's closing, I pray they'd see their future being set. Chances are running out. Time's running out, Lord. I plead with you, Lord. Deal. I pray food won't taste good, Lord. I pray sin won't be fun. Lord, I pray you'd wreck and ruin their life, make them miserable, Lord, till they come to the knowledge of Christ. Take their sleep from them, Lord. Do whatever it takes, God. You said it'd be better to cut a right arm off, Lord, a right hand. Poke a right out eye out, Lord, than it be to enter into hell, Lord. I plead with you, make it miserable for sinners that come to Christ, Lord. Help them know their love, Lord. God, I pray for every saved person here today. I pray for all of us, God, that are saved. Help us to live for you, Lord. Help us, oh God, not to be a stumbling block, but a stepping stone. We love you and we thank you, Lord. Thank you for being able to be in the house of God today. Thank you for your church, Lord. Thank you for these that have gathered inside and out, Lord. Thank you for our family that have come today. Lord, bless us in song and preaching. I pray you'd bless them, Lord. Bless Uncle Harold and Aunt Joyce and the family, Lord. I pray you'd touch them, the Rochesters and the Matthews, Lord. Bless them. Bless our church, Lord. Touch us, Lord, as we go throughout this day. Bless all the mothers. Thank you, Lord, for mothers, Lord. Thank you for these that have come. We love you. Thank you for the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Try to be careful. And we'll meet back here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. All right. God bless you.